Well, that's a wonderful song, and what a great blessing it is to be able to lift our voices and our hearts up in praise to our Father in heaven. It's so wonderful to be here with you all today. It's been a great day. Thank you so much for, first of all, to your elders and your preachers for the kind invitation for me to be with you. Thank you for all of your kind words. So many people who are here are very dear to me and to my family. We love many of you very much, and can't tell you how much you all mean to us, and so it's been a joy to see people that we love and that we have respected and appreciated for many, many years. We had a wonderful meal. Thank you to everyone who provided the meal. It was a great food. Everybody enjoyed each other's company, I'm sure, and now for the opportunity to be able to worship this afternoon. I feel like I've got a big job before me. After a good meal like that on a Sunday afternoon, you're supposed to take a nap, right? One of your fine elders, a very good friend of mine, Charlie Smith, said to me earlier, "Jeff, you can preach as long as you want to this afternoon." And then he said, "Because I don't like short naps." So somebody sitting close to Charlie, throw something at him if you see him sleeping back there in the middle of this lesson. Well, again, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Would you open your Bibles to John chapter 1? John chapter 1. I want us to look at just a couple of passages here. As we think about having passion for the people of God, we've talked about being passionate about Jesus, about the plan that he has, and now we want to talk about his people, about being passionate about his people. You know, one of the greatest and most wonderful gifts that God has given us is the gift of our voice, to be able to use our voices that travel through sound waves to communicate our deepest and most emotional feelings of our heart. And I think we ought to ask ourselves sometimes, how often do we do that? How often do we use our voices to express what is deep in our heart? When we love someone, when we appreciate someone, when we're thankful to someone, how often do we use our voices to tell people what is in our heart, what is in our emotions, and what is deep within us? And so we should do that. It's interesting to me that in this passage in John chapter 1, that Jesus is called the Word. Words are wonderful. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John goes on to say that there was nothing that was created without the Word. And then he will tell us later on in verse 14 that this Word came in the flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus came to this world because God wanted to communicate something. And if you read, for instance, in the book of John, just read about Jesus in the book of John. And look at how many times Jesus will make a statement about the fact that he came to say what God wanted him to say or to do what God wanted him to do. I think of John 9:4, we must work the works of him who sent us while it is day. Jesus said on one occasion, did you know that Jesus said, I do only those things that are pleasing to my Father? Isn't that a remarkable statement? Wouldn't you like to be able to say that? That everything I do, I try to do to be pleasing to God. But Jesus spoke the words of God. He communicated the words of God. He didn't say anything that was not from God. And so God has given us this tremendous ability, this gift of words, and Jesus used it, and I think we should as well. And one of the ways that we can use words, one of the ways that we can use our voices to be pleasing to God is to express our deep gratitude to God. Jesus is the ultimate communication from God. And if you want to know what God is trying to communicate, just look to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1, we're told in verses 1 and 2 that long ago and in different times, God spoke in different ways. But in these last days, the days in which we're living, he spoke to us through his dear Son. What a tremendous point it is, the power of words, the impact that we can make with our words. Did you know that today, this afternoon, that there are people who are going to pay $5.6 million for a 30-second communication. $5.6 million. Can you imagine that kind of money? I read about one time about a lady who put an ad in the local paper, and she said, I will pay anybody, this has been years ago, I will pay anybody $20 who will come and sit and just listen to me talk. If you'll just come in my house and sit and listen to me talk for an hour, I'll pay you $20. I know a lot of preachers that would like to try that. You know, if I could pay people to come hear me talk, I might do a little bit better. So words are powerful, and words make an impact on human beings. And I think that's why like the brother of Jesus, James, said in James chapter 3. I don't want many of you to be teachers because you're going to receive a harsher judgment. He is saying, be careful about the way that you use your words. And many of us today could talk about the power of affirming words, how people have helped us and how people have encouraged us. We know in our times of weakness, in our times when we need strength from other people, we understand that. And so I hope that you've experienced in your life the joy of someone else's verbal blessing. I hope you experience that in your life on a regular basis. And you know what it's like for someone to look you in the eye and to say, I love you and I care about you and you mean something to me. And I hope that you say that to your wives. And I hope that you say that to your children. I hope that you get down on their level and you look them in the eye and you tell them how grateful you are for them and you're thankful that God brought them into your life. We need to use the ability, the gift that God has given us to speak words that are affirming and words that are encouraging. And so three quick thoughts this afternoon. We won't spend a lot of time here, but let me make three suggestions. How we could make changes in our life that would be of encouragement to others. Number one, use your words to appreciate people. Appreciate people. I want to encourage you to sincerely attempt to appreciate the people in your life. Sometimes we take people for granted. We assume that they're always going to be there. We assume that we'll always have conversations with them. We assume that that we will have long-term relationships, and before we know it, they're gone. Colossians 2 verse 7 says that we should allow our lives to overflow with gratitude for all that God has done for us. And so our lives will be lives that are characterized by gratitude. And one of the defining markers of the followers of Jesus is the characteristic of gratitude. You can't really be a disciple of Jesus. You can't really be a Christian unless you are a person who is grateful. If we're not careful, we're easy for our words to be more grumbling and complaining than to be words of gratitude. And that happens way too often in the life of the church. When we are together, when something doesn't go the way that we want it to, we all too often we complain. And sometimes we speak words and we get our words confused and we get our words mixed up and we want to say something good, but we don't always say the right thing. I brought my grandson I brought him one of those slingshots from Israel, going to Israel in about 3 weeks from now, taking a group over. We do this ever so often. And, there are always these people, if you've been, people are always trying to sell you things. So I bought one of those slingshots, and I brought it home to my grandson, and I told him the story about David and Goliath. And I told him about how David used that slingshot to kill Goliath and how God was with David. And so we told the story, and then we took the scripture, we read in the scripture exactly what happened, and so he went off to play, and the next morning he shouted down from upstairs and he said, Pops, where's that thing? And I said, what thing? And he said, that thing that you brought me from that country where Samson shot David. And I said, well, you got the part of the story right, a little bit off. We got to work on his theology just a little bit there, but sometimes our words get confused and we don't show our appreciation for people the way that we should. And some of you may be thinking, Jeff, you don't know, you don't have a clue what I'm going through in my life. You don't know what I'm dealing with. And it's difficult to be thankful for people. But what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is that in everything we are to give thanks. In everything. One translation says, in every circumstance we are to give thanks. And he says, we're to give thanks for you, or to God for you in Christ Jesus. Did you know it is a command of God that we give thanks for one another? We're to do this in God through Christ Jesus. And so we are to always be thankful. No matter what we're going through, we still should be thankful. And like some of you, I've gone through an extremely difficult time in my life over the past few months. And there are days that you wake up and you have difficulty focusing and you don't know what you're supposed to do next. And I don't know where to turn and how to go about life. And you sit there and you think, how in the world can I be thankful for this? But the Bible commands me that I'm to be thankful in all things. And so I'm thankful that God gave me a loving wife for nearly 40 years. And I'm thankful that that she gave me two loving children, and that because of that we have three beautiful, wonderful grandchildren. And by the way, I've got about 10,000 pictures of my grandchildren. I'll be happy for you to see them. There may be a small fee involved, but I'd be glad to do that. So you figure out a way, no matter what you're going through in your life, listen, no matter what you're dealing with in your life, you figure out a way to give thanks to God in all things. And sometimes we may not even feel like giving thanks to God, but we ought to do that anyway. We ought to give thanks to God anyway, because I heard somebody say a long time, it's a lot easier to act your way into a feeling than it is to feel your way into an action. Think about that. You know, some people say, well, I'll do what I should when I feel like it. Well, you might not ever feel like it. But sometimes we have to act our way into feeling better. And so in everything, we are to give thanks. We are to appreciate people. Let me just give you just a couple of practical ways to show appreciation for people, maybe even this week. So how about saying thank you to people who serve you? I had a waiter tell me one time at a restaurant, one of our church guys, and he told me that sometimes he would go to work on Sunday afternoon, and he said that Sunday was the hardest day of the week for him to work, because he said, all of those church people, they're the meanest people that come into my restaurant. I thought, how awful is that? How awful is that? We got to learn to be better. We've got to learn to do better. So this week, how about somebody who serves you, express gratitude to them. Maybe it's somebody who cooks a meal for you, or somebody who brings you your meal, or somebody who opens the door for you, or somebody who does something kind to you. So express thanks for people who serve you. Number two, express thanks for people who shape your life. You know, we are all products of the people who have shaped our life. And there are people that perhaps who have been involved in helping you become who you are and be able to do what you do, that you need to sit down. Maybe you need to write them a note. Say, I don't write, well, send them a text. Well, if you don't write notes, write them a note anyway. Do it anyway. Express gratitude to people who have helped shape your life. There are people in your life who have blessed you. And my guess is if we only had a short time to live, if today we knew that we had a short time to live, we would do something about expressing gratitude to people who have shaped our lives. So number one, appreciate people. Number two, encourage people. Look, this is not earth-shattering stuff here, folks. This is not, you know, graduate-level information. So let me just tell you, we need to encourage one another. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, therefore, encourage one another. Listen to these words. Encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. It's not difficult to speak kind words. In fact, it's easy, and the echo of those words that we speak that are kind to others, to encourage them, the echo is endless. It'll reverberate for a long time to come. So speak words of encouragement and write words of encouragement. So, I have a confession to make. I read Facebook sometimes. I don't read it all the time. It's not my favorite book to read. I don't read it all the time, but sometimes I read it, and sometimes it's amazing to see what some of my brothers and sisters in Christ write about the world and about the church and about each other and about their family. And I'm thinking, don't do that. If you do that, quit. Stop doing that. Delete your account if that's what you do. Because we are to encourage one another. We are to edify one another. We are to build up one another. The very last thing that Jesus did before ascending to the Father was to speak words of blessing and encouragement to his disciples. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. You know, you can speak words of encouragement. It'll make people feel better, not just emotionally and spiritually, but it'll make people feel better physically. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Your words of encouragement can help people live better lives. And one of the most remarkable things about Jesus was his amazing capacity to notice people that other people didn't notice, and to show his appreciation for them. Jesus never looked past people to something that was more important, because he believed that people were important. What if every one of us made a conscientious decision that beginning today, we would only speak words of encouragement to the people around us? So, encourage people. And then number three, we need to pray for each other. And I'm not sure that we fully grasp the importance of and the power of prayer. It is possible that you were raised in the church, that you've been raised in a church setting and you've been involved in the church all of your life. And sometimes when that happens in our lives, prayer can become kind of routine. It's just something else that we do. We have a checklist every day. Today I went to work. Today I ate my meal. Today I went to the store. Today I spent some time in prayer. If we're not careful, it can become a routine. And we need to understand that when we pray, it is as if, listen to what the Bible tells us, that when we pray, it is as if we have been ushered into the very throne room of God. Hebrews chapter 4 says that we should come boldly under the throne of grace so that we can find comfort and help in our time of need. Did you know that God's throne room is always open? His door is open every day, every night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Always, you can walk right up to the throne room of God and you can talk to Him about anything, anytime. And sometimes we don't know how to speak to God. Sometimes we don't know what to say to God. And Romans chapter 8 tells us that when we go through those times in our life, that the Spirit intercedes for us with words or groanings that cannot be uttered. What that means, I believe, is that when we come to a place in our life and we're having a difficult time in our life and we want to talk to God, but we don't know the words to say, we may just have to say, Lord, help us. We may just say, Dear Father. And I believe that the Spirit of God takes the thoughts of our hearts and He translates them into the throne room of God. So God wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to communicate to Him. He wants to hear from us. He wants to know what is on our heart. It's not as if God doesn't already know, but He wants to hear us speak those words. And so we pray and we ask God to help us. And there have been times in the past few months that I've awakened in the middle of the night just for no reason seeming at all, and all I know to do is to pray. And God will help us. And so we need to pray for one another. There's an amazing passage in the book of Exodus, chapter 28, verses 29 and 30. It says, Aaron shall carry the names of the son of Israel in the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. Listen to these words. He will carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place. You see what's happening here? He's taking the names of the people before God. How often do you spend time taking the names of the people of God in your heart into the throne room of God? There are people in this room right now who need prayers. And how wonderful that your shepherds will take the time to stand up and call all of those names like we did this morning. But what about you in your moments, in your times of prayer? Do you take the names of the people of God? And before you can carry them to the throne of God, as in this passage, they need to be on your heart. This is an amazing picture. A picture of our God who puts a high premium on people, on His people. These are the people of God. And God puts a high premium on you and on you and on you. Every person in here is important to God. I don't care where you've come from or what you've done in your life. You are important to God. And He wants us to be important to one another. He wants us to pray for one another. In the New Testament, we've been called a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And just like Aaron, we are to carry our fellow Christians, our family, and our friends into the presence of the Lord on our hearts through prayer. And here's the good news. We don't even have to go to the tabernacle like they did in those days. We're allowed to go into the presence of God anytime, anywhere, and nobody will ever stop you. Did you know that there are many things that they can take away from you in your life? You know, when you get too old, they'll take your keys away and they won't let you drive anymore. When you, sometimes your parents may take something away from you because you're spending too much time with it. But did you know, listen, nobody can ever take prayer away from you. Nobody can ever take the blessing of being able to communicate with God away from you. My hope and my prayer is that this will become more than just a ritual for us and more than just something that we do, but it will become a lifestyle. That it will be an ongoing conversation with God. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, at all times. And with this in view, he goes on to say, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. There's the same thing we read back in Exodus. With the names of the saints, we're to petition God. And of course, the wonderful words of Jesus in Matthew 7 when he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. When Paul says that we're to pray without ceasing, no, that doesn't mean that every word from our mouth, every time we open our mouths, has to be a prayer. But it does mean that we carry prayer with us in our hearts at all times. Some of you are you're extremely busy in your life. You don't know how you have time, how you can add time to do anything else in your life. May I plead with you today. May I encourage you to take some time every single day in your life talking to your Father. We allow Him to speak to us through His Word, but it's so important for us to speak to Him, to communicate to Him, to express the desires, the deepest desires of our heart. So when we pray for people, God's power is unleashed. James 5:16 still tells us that the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. You see what that says? It says that when we communicate with God, when we pray to our Father, that the power of prayer, the power of God is unleashed. When we pray, everyone's faith is strengthened. When we pray, our faith is strengthened. But when we carry the names of the saints before God, their faith is strengthened as well. There's some in the church who aren't able to do some things because of physical challenges or because they've never been equipped to do those things. But we can all pray. We can all pray. You may not be able to do anything else in the life of the church, but you can pray. I've heard people literally make the statement, well, I've tried everything I know to do, now I guess I'll pray. And I want to say, no! Are you kidding me? You've got that backwards. It's not, I've tried everything else, now I'll pray. It's, I'll pray first, and then I'll try everything else. Proverbs 18:21. Again, the wise man said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. My prayer for you this week and for the rest of your life is that your words will be life-giving, not life-taking. Gentlemen, don't speak to your wife in a way that is not life-giving. Ladies, don't speak to your husband in a way that is not life-giving. Employees, don't speak to your employers in a way that is not life-giving. Employers, don't speak to your employees in a way that is not life-giving. Instructors, don't speak to your students unless it is a way that is life-giving. Whoever you are, wherever you may be, begin this week to use your words to be life-giving. Be kinder, because it's the little things that show that we belong to the Lord who gives life. And if you haven't been doing that, please begin today to use your voice to speak words that are life-giving, to appreciate other people, to encourage others, and to pray for others. And when we do that, we not only will bring blessings into the lives of the people around us, we not only will be blessing our own lives, but most importantly, above all else, when we do that, we will be giving glory to God. And our lives are to be lived to give glory to God. First and foremost, the most important lesson I can learn in my life is that my life is to be lived to the glory of God. And when I speak words of appreciation and encouragement and prayer, I'm speaking words that will bring glory to God. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. We want to encourage you today through faith and repentance and confession and baptism to give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian and you have not used your voice to glorify God. Maybe you use your voice to glorify yourselves or to glorify others. We need to quit glorifying ourselves, and we need to glorify God more. I talk to preachers a lot of times, and it's amazing to me how many preachers I know who spend a lot of time glorifying themselves and talking about themselves, and we've got to quit that. We've got to show people and help people understand the importance of glorifying God. So if you need the prayers of the church, if you need to change from a life of glorifying self to glorifying God, if we can pray for you, if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come right now while we stand together and while we sing this song.